Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Said I was ready. I'm technically not. But now I am. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do most of the time on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Mariel Segarra. Thank you for joining us on this hollowed out shell Thursday. We're going to do a little news fix and then make me smile. But yeah, before we do any of that, how's your shell, Kai?
You know, I'm actually okay, which my first news item, as Bridget Bonder, the senior producer of this podcast, nudged me about right before we started recording. My first news item is a little bit of a downer, but there's a broader context to it, which is why I picked this news item. But honestly, I'm kind of okay. I'm kind of okay. So, you know, we'll see what happens by the end of the pod. But I'm all right. You?
That's good. Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, we were just talking before the show roll about the bomb cyclone headed to New York. So,
yes.
Having just gotten back from LA, like, I'm pretty bummed about this. But it just changes your life completely if you can't go outside. You know,
totally. It is. You know, I watched the dogs this afternoon. It's 72 degrees. Everything's fine.
Oh my God. So,
you know, everything's good. Everything
of course, things good. Are good for you.
But,
yeah.
But it gets really cold at night. It gets down to like 42 degrees. Oh. So when I walk the dogs in the morning, I have to put on two sweatshirts. All right, I'll stop. Wow. I'll stop. Okay, so we'll do a little news and then we'll do a make me smile. My make me smile, by the way, is not a smile. It's more of a, that's kind of wild thing. But anyway, we'll do that when we get there.
Okay.
A couple of news items. Number one, and this has been on local news around here all day. A 15-month-old in Los Angeles County has died of the coronavirus, the youngest Los Angeles County resident to die of this disease since the pandemic started. And look, I don't want to get people down on this particular story, right? It's a huge tragedy, but that's not why I mention it. I mention it because we're still in a pandemic. We're still in a pandemic. For crying out loud. And yes, I know we're moving toward endemicness of this thing. And yes, I know if you're vaxxed and boosted, things are really not so bad. But holy cow, there's a huge slice of the population out there, including 0 to 5s and elderlies, who are really, really vulnerable. And we have to remember that. And that's what I wanted to just bring out is that caution is still warranted there's one more thing I want to say about this. Caution is still warranted, but I highly recommend to everybody David Leonhardt on The Daily podcast from The New York Times with that host whose name I shall not mention. But David is among the smartest people I know. And he had a great episode yesterday talking about risk, perceived risk versus our actions. And I highly recommend it to people. We'll put it on the show page. It's really good. Half an hour of your time. Cannot recommend it highly enough. Anyway, so yes, we're in a pandemic. Yeah. And yes, we got to look out for each other. That was my point on that one. That was my point, you know?
I mean, a couple things on this. Like, yeah, I think that people have this impression that kids just aren't really affected by COVID. And yes, they are less likely to get sick from it for sure. But that's the kind of news that just knocks the wind out of you when you hear it.
Yeah.
It's awful.
15 months old. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I was also going to ask that the podcast, the daily episode, did David talk about like how, I'm not sure if it was him or not, who was talking about how your political leaning can affect how you respond to COVID?
Him. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Like people who are liberal take it too seriously and people who are conservative don't take it seriously enough often.
Yep.
Despite their age and the relative risk there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. And David is super smart. And he was a math major, I think, in college, like applied mathematics. So he became this great economics journalist. And now he's doing a bunch of data analysis for the Times. It's really, really interesting. Can't recommend it highly enough. Okay, moving on. Got to give a nod to gross domestic product growth, which was super, super high on an annualized basis in the fourth quarter, 6.9%. The highest since Ronald Reagan was in the White House, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. 5.7% for the year 2021, the economy grew, which is great, even in the face of all the headwinds with Omicron and inflation and all that jazz. It's not going to keep up, but I think everybody needs to know that this economy fundamentally, even with inflation and even with consumers not feeling necessarily great about it all the time, the economy is pretty strong at the headline level. At the headline level, right? We're all paying more for gas. We're all paying more for food. I totally understand that. And let's not get into the Fed and inflation. But the nuts and bolts, the economic fundamentals, as politicians like to say, are pretty strong. And I think it's worth pointing that out, you know?
Yeah. Can I ask you, when you look at economic indicators, like, because there are a bunch you could look at to try to figure out how healthy the economy is, where does GDP rank for you?
Oh, you know, that's so funny. Early in my career, let me tell you, kids, when I was newer at Marketplace, I was like, oh my God, GDP, that's like that's the biggest indicator we can possibly follow. But in the years since, really that has attenuated quite a bit. And GDP is handy, but it's not the be all and end all. I look at things like jobs and job openings and also wages. And here's why I discount GDP just a little bit. Number one, countries can put into their gross domestic product calculation anything they want. We did a series of live road shows about, 8 years ago now. And Patty Hirsch, who used to be an editor at Marketplace and has since gone to, I think he's at like The Indicator and Planet Money, whatever, as is all the rest of Marketplace who has left here, by the way, but that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different podcast. He did a great story for us on stage talking about exactly that. Countries can put into gross domestic product anything they want. So like the Netherlands, prostitution. Right?
Huh.
Because it's a key part of their economy. If you've been to Amsterdam, you know about it. Like, so it's not as grade A, top of the charts indicator as you might think. That's my sense.
Yeah. My sense. Oh, that's interesting. So it's not like directly comparable country to country.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So there's cool. That. Okay, last super quick item. I just want to point out that Apple, which was for a brief shining moment a $3 trillion company in this economy a number of weeks ago, reported earnings. They have $206 billion in cash. $206 billion in cash just sitting in a bank account. And I just want to point that out. It's important to people to understand the degree to which corporate America is really doing just fine. Thank you very much.
That cash pile just been growing and growing for years, right?
Yeah. 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 It's actually, so the $206 billion is a little smaller than it was in the before times, but still it's almost $250 billion. Come on, man.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with it.
I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have one big news item, and this is I'm going to take on kind of a beast of a news story here, Russia-Ukraine conflict, which is we've been talking about. Basically, Europe, as you mentioned the other day, especially Germany, relies on natural gas from Russia. And if the conflict escalates between Russia and the West, and especially if the U.S. and European allies put embargoes on Russia, the fear is that Russia might cut off exports of natural gas. Russia says it's not going to do that, but Europe is now, worried about that. So the U.S. has been trying to secure alternative sources of natural gas for European countries from other places, but those other places have agreements, basically, with Asia and other countries. So it's really hard to reroute any of this. And right now, the U.S. is sending some tankers to the EU of natural gas, but it's not anywhere close to what they would need to cover. So I think that's interesting. And the fact that it could affect the measures that European countries are willing to take against Russia, it just reminded me that wars are often fought over resources and money. And even if that's not the initial spark for a conflict, it can be a huge factor in whether a country takes sides or in how it responds to another country's aggressions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just like at the, it's under, laying underneath even wars that we talk about. And this isn't a war yet, if it's ever going to become that. Yep. But it, economics is the layer underneath all conflicts, I think.
Yep. Totally agree. Could not have said it better myself. Could not have said it better myself. Totally agree.
Totally agree. Well, I'm glad I got that. I got that right.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't my normal area of expertise. This is more
what I love is that the other day you were pointing out how our interests are completely different. And then I got into the rundown today and I'm like, oh, look what you're doing there. I understand this. So
I was
great.
Like, I read up a little bit. Yeah, cool. I studied IR in college. Cool. So flex my
totally
muscles.
Totally cool.
There. Okay.
Totally cool. All right, Juan Carlos, hit it, will you? All right, so I am a space geek, as I think everybody knows. I've confessed that many a time. We've talked about the James Webb Space Telescope. Interesting little tidbit that I saw. This is technically yesterday, but I wasn't on the pod yesterday. I just think it's so interesting that a SpaceX rocket, one of its upper stages of a Falcon 9 that was launched 7 years ago, is going to crash into the moon on March 4th at approximately 7:25 a.m. Eastern time. I mean, orbital dynamics is cray-cray. I just think it's kind of wild that this Falcon 9 rocket that's been up there just bipping around for 7 years is finally going to hit the moon. Okay.
Not on purpose, right?
No, not on purpose. It's been in an irregular orbit. It's been in an irregular orbit for 7 years. And Kimberly Adams, the other space geek at Marketplace, now that Molly's gone, and I were slacking about this the other day. And I was like, how does this even happen? And she said, oh, I think it's pretty easy. You get into an irregular orbit, things go crazy, and then 7 years later, you hit the moon eventually. And I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah.
Okay, so this is really outside of my realm. So question, what is the rocket doing up there anyway? What is it doing?
Well, I'm sure it launched, my guess would be, I don't know this, but my guess would be it launched the cargo capsule up to the International Space Station. And for whatever reason, this was before they were reusing or what have you. And it wound up in this irregular orbit around the Earth, right? So it was going low at one point, and then the apogee and perigee were hitting extremes. And then finally it got completely out of whack and got captured, I imagine, by the moon's gravitational force. And now it's been pulled in.
Cool. Well,
yeah,
maybe before our next show, I will try to brush up on orbital dynamics and then bring one as a new
fair
fix.
Enough. Fair enough.
Okay. Well, mine is actually just a song. So, like, I think last time we did a Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, I told you how, like, sometimes one of the tools in my toolbox is, like, naming things I'm grateful for if I'm hollowed out.
Yes.
And another one is just, like, putting on a song and dancing around in my apartment. And
wow, all right.
That's
something
I do it, like, actually pretty frequently. So this one I was listening to today is John Batiste, Freedom. And have you heard it? It's so good.
Yes, I have.
I don't know if you've seen the music video, but it's like he's in this pink, shiny suit and some other like really great outfits. And the marching band is behind him. They're in New Orleans. And the minute you put it on, it's just like lifts your mood. And I was a little bit of like, when I started dancing to it today, I wasn't really feeling in a good mood. I was just going through the motions. Like you're kind of moving your body, but you're not like, I'm not happy. Like, but he's just has such style and the song is so great that like as it goes on, it really did make me smile. So hopefully other people will get
something
out of that too.
That's super cool. Yeah. We will of course put it on the show page. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Great, great, great. All right, we're going to go out on that note. See what I did there? Note. Kimberly Adams and Justin Ho are back tomorrow for Economics on Tap, which is a Friday. We are still, by the way, not doing the YouTube live stream. We've got some things going on. But I imagine they're going to do beverages and our favorite game, half full, half empty. If you've got cocktail suggestions, Kimberly is your woman for that. She's always up because she's got a closet full of half-used weird liqueurs. So hit her up there.
And consider, please, in the meantime, signing up for the Make Me Smart newsletter. It will make you smart on a whole bunch of topics. Every week, You can sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters and also keep sending us your questions and comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message at, maybe you know it by now, 508-UB-SMART.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera with help from Marque Green. Today's episode was engineered, as you heard, by Juan Carlos Toronto.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Donna.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.